This is Decisive Evidence, written by Cecily, read by
Secrets of Lufnar,
Elaine of Shalott,
Carbon Copies,
Winged Words,
Ethel,
Brina Jenkins,
Girl with a Bubble Gun,
Schmaler,
Black Glass,
and Silver and Blue. Recorded at Podfic Winter Chillfest 2020. Fandom, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. Rating, General Audiences. Summary. When Phoenix and Edgeworth refuse to admit what everyone already knows, there's only one way to prove them wrong. An impromptu trial. The room was filled with an eclectic handful of lawyers, detectives, and prosecutors, the small group that Phoenix and Edgeworth had recruited to fix the legal system. Looking around the room, Apollo recognized most of the group, having faced them in court himself. Even the judge was there, though Apollo had some private doubts about the man's judgment.
"Thank you all for coming,"
Edgeworth said from the head of the conference room.
"We've had much to celebrate in the last year, overturning the two cases that led to the dark side of the law."
At that, a scruffy-looking detective in the back of the room whooped. Edgeworth ignored him.
"But those two cases were only the start of our work in rebuilding trust in the justice system. What we need now are systemic reforms to make the system stronger, to prevent such a circumstance from happening again. This meeting is to discuss what we can do to improve trust in the justice system."
He launched into a fairly detailed discussion of the changes he was planning on implementing in the prosecutor's office, and other changes that would require a convincing state bar association based upon his study of other judicial systems abroad. Phoenix had a lot of suggestions as well.
"That's right. The jurist trial was his work, wasn't it? He's thought about this a lot."
Apollo didn't have as much to add as the others. He'd only been a practicing lawyer for about a year now. It wasn't until the end of the discussion that he surprised himself when he found himself shouting,
"Hold it!"
The conversation stopped dead, and Athena winced next to him.
Sorry,
he said sheepishly, turning down the cords of steel.
"But that last rule about conflicts of interest would ban all prosecutors from any trials against lawyers they're dating, wouldn't it?"
"Yes, that's correct,"
Edgeworth confirmed. His tone was apologetic.
"I know that all of you are trustworthy,"
he said, eyes flickering between the couples in the room.
"But with so little trust in the justice system now, it's important that we remove even the appearance of undue influence."
"But I think that some of the best trials are those where the prosecution and defense trust each other, absolutely,"
Apollo argued.
"Sometimes that's the only way we can find the truth."
He took a deep breath.
"In fact, I think that Clavier and I were just following your example. Your trials with Mr. Wright are legendary, and no one doubts those. But you and Mr. Wright aren't so different from us, are you?"
"That's completely different,"
Phoenix said, shaking his head.
"No, I think Apollo's right,"
Athena said thoughtfully.
"The emotions in your voices. I heard the two of you at my trial. You do feel something for each other. One of the strongest feelings I've ever felt from you."
Edgeworth laughed unexpectedly.
"I see your protégés have adopted your habit of ludicrous bluffs, right?"
he said, and wagged a finger.
"But surely they must have learned by now that evidence is everything."
"Then we'll prove it,"
Apollo declared.
"Chief Prosecutor, just tell me that you don't have feelings for..."
"If you recall, Mr. Justice, we only just finished deciding that psychic evidence is inadmissible without corroborating evidence,"
Edgeworth chided. Apollo slumped.
"Oh, right."
Next to him, Clavier chuckled.
"To Clavier?"
Apollo hissed.
"He wouldn't be my boss if he weren't good at what he does, Apollo. If you let him set the rules, you'll never corner him. You need an independent arbitrator."
"That's right,"
Athena said.
"The judge. Someone wake up his honor."
The judge had fallen asleep on a corner of the conference table during the discussion, and no one had bothered waking him up. Apollo gingerly shook his shoulder.
"Bailiff!"
the judge shouted and bolted upright.
"My apologies, Mr. Justice."
"Your Honor, Ms. Sykes and I have a dispute with Prosecutor Edgeworth and Mr. Wright. Would you preside over a small trial?"
The judge perked up immediately.
Oh, absolutely! It's a good thing I packed my traveling gavel,
he said, pulling out a small gavel and stand.
Does he have that with him at all times?
Edgeworth shifted over to let the judge take the head of the conference room, so that they were arranged in a small facsimile of the courtroom.
Court is now in session,
the judge declared, banging the gavel with obvious relish.
Chief Prosecutor Edgeworth, your opening statement?
Oh no, Your Honor. Apollo and I are prosecuting. We believe that the defendants are in love, and will prove it with the decisive testimony of their friends and family.
Athena nodded confidently.
I've always wondered about those two,
the judge mused.
I dare say I've detected a fair amount of tension in my courtroom.
Edgeworth's hand slammed down on the table. The judge jumped.
Your Honor, if we may proceed to the testimony, I believe that you will soon see the prosecution's evidence revealed for the paltry fantasies that they are.
There's noise in Mr. Edgeworth's voice,
Athena whispered.
He's conflicted. I don't think he really wants to prove us wrong.
There were no signs of uncertainty on Edgeworth as far as Apollo could see. The man looked as confident and terrifying as ever.
I can't believe I'm actually facing down the chief prosecutor and Phoenix at the same time, too. This isn't gonna be easy.
Very well. Mr. Justice, you may call your first witness.
Oh, right. That's my job now.
Apollo sheepishly rubbed back his hair. He and Athena were prosecuting, so they couldn't testify.
Athena, we need Trucy for this,
he hissed.
I'll text Trucy and tell her to come over right away. You stall for time.
Easy for her to say. Clavier, who here knows both Mr. Wright and Mr. Edgeworth best? Wait, you work for Edgeworth. Could you testify?
He said hopefully. Clavier shook his head.
Nine. I'm not the right person for this. The scruffy detective in the back, Herr Gumshoe, is your best bet.
I don't know him at all. That's not like I'm unused to flying blind. The prosecution calls Detective Gumshoe to the stand,
Apollo shouted.
Detective, testify on your knowledge of the defendant's relationship.
The detective's testimony.
Well, pal, Mr. Edgeworth and Mr. Wright and me go way back. And the very first time they met in court, Mr. Edgeworth tried to have Mr. Wright found guilty of murder. Sorry, sir, but that's the truth. That's not very loving at all.
Gotcha. Detective Gumshoe, you keep touching your pocket when you talk about Mr. Edgeworth. You're hiding something. Why do you keep reaching for your wallet?
Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Edgeworth is gonna dock my salary if I say anything more.
Detective, relax. You may testify to the truth of the matter. And, Mr. Justice, might I remind you that cross-examination is the defense's job?
Right. Sorry.
Really, sir? You promise? Well, in that case...
The detective's testimony. Again.
When Mr. Edgeworth was on trial for murder, I knew that I could trust Mr. Wright to save him. Even when Mr. Edgeworth gave up on himself, Mr. Wright still believed in him.
Objection! That's part of a defense attorney's creed. I always believe in my client.
Well, pal, that's not true. There's one time when you believed in Mr. Edgeworth over your own client. That Matt Engard case.
Objection! Look, Edgeworth and I have worked together. No one disputes that. But you left out the most important part of that time frame, when Edgeworth pretended to commit suicide. I thought he was dead, and he never explained it to me. You don't do that to someone you love.
The room was silent at that. Edgeworth and Phoenix looked away from each other.
Oh, no. Have I made things worse between them by dragging up old history?
Apollo, I can hear the anger in his voice. He's really serious about this. We have to do something.
I know. My bracelet's not reacting. He means it.
And Edgeworth was clutching at his elbow, looking pale. He'd never seen the chief prosecutor so off balance.
Is Trucy here yet?
Athena checked her phone and shook her head grimly.
She says she's on her way. We just need a little longer.
Your Honor, if the prosecution has nothing more to say, I ask that you deliver a swift verdict and let this farce be ended.
Phoenix said quietly.
That seems appropriate.
The judge agreed.
Very well. I find the defendants. Aye-yee! Psh!
The judge was cut off by the crack of a whip, mere inches from his face.
Not so fast,
Franziska von Karma said. Apollo gaped. He'd heard stories about von Karma and her whip, but he'd never seen it in action. He suddenly wished for the solid defense of the defense bench to hide behind. Athena was already edging behind Apollo. He would have taken a leaf out of her book and hidden behind Clavier, but his traitorous boyfriend was already on the other side of the room.
Coward!
Mr. Apollo Justice,
Franziska continued.
I'd like to testify as to my little brother's defense.
I'm calling witnesses for the prosecution, actually. Ouch!
He raised a hand to ward off the whip.
Okay, you can testify. Just please, stop whipping. Ow! And I thought being attacked by Taka was bad.
Why Edgeworth left the suicide note.
My papa raised Miles Edgeworth in his own image. But after meeting Mr. Phoenix Wright again, he became soft and foolish. He could not condone the person he had been. And like a foolish fool, he determined that he could no longer live as the person he was. But Miles Edgeworth has told me it was Phoenix Wright who inspired him to believe that he could turn things around. And that was why he decided to live.
Franziska, I thought you were testifying for the defense.
I am. Little brother, I am defending you from your own foolish pride.
Couldn't she have just said that she was testifying for the prosecution instead of whipping me?
Edgeworth, is what she said true?
Right, this is not the place to talk about it. Look, the prosecution has proven nothing. The fact that I have been inspired by Wright is not decisive evidence. Mr. Justice and Ms. Sykes have also been inspired by Wright as their mentor, and certainly they are not in love with him. I move to strike the witness's testimony as irrelevant.
Miles Edgeworth, how dare you call me irrelevant?
Objection! The witness's testimony is part of the larger picture, which will be supported by our next witness. Good thing Tracy's finally arrived.
Very well. I will allow the witness's testimony to remain. Mr. Justice, let's see the supporting testimony for your next witness, then.
The prosecution calls Trucy Wright to the stand.
My daddy and Mr. Edgeworth.
My daddy was really sad for a long time. But whenever we went to Europe to visit Mr. Edgeworth, daddy was more like the daddy I met. Mr. Edgeworth reminded him of who he really was. Daddy and Mr. Edgeworth spent a lot of time together, and he's always happier when they do.
Objection. My apologies, Trucy, but that is merely circumstantial evidence.
We're not getting anywhere with this.
Athena grumbled.
They'll just say everything is circumstantial. If we could just use our powers...
We have to get one of them to testify.
Apollo agreed.
That's the only way we can pin them down. Mr. Edgeworth!
He flung out his hand and pointed at the chief prosecutor.
If this is circumstantial, then let's get the evidence directly from you. I ask that you testify about your feelings for Mr. Wright.
My feelings for Phoenix.
I feel a great deal of respect for Wright. He's a worthy adversary, an old friend, and the best attorney that I know. But I'm afraid that the prosecution has no case. Respect is not love itself.
He worded that very carefully. He didn't just outright say, I'm not in love with Phoenix, because he knows I could tell if he lied.
On the other side of the conference table, Phoenix was holding his Magatama and staring at Edgeworth like he'd never seen him before.
I knew it! Edgeworth does have a secret about Phoenix! Objection!
Apollo shouted, slamming his hands on the table.
Your Honor, the witness is avoiding the question. I ask that the witness directly answer the question. Is he in love with Phoenix Wright or not? Yes or no?
Mr. Justice, it's the defense's cross-examination.
The judge admonished.
Mr. Wright, you may cross-examine the witness.
Your Honor,
Phoenix said slowly.
May we have a 10-minute recess? The defense needs to confer.
Objection!
Apollo said quickly.
The witness needs to finish testifying.
No, Mr. Justice. I think this is a good time for a break. I need to go to the little judge's room.
Down came the gavel.
Court will resume in 10 minutes.
The judge departed in a flash of black robes.
He even takes the gavel with him to the bathroom?
Phoenix and Edgeworth exited from the opposite door.
We've almost got him,
Athena said confidently, clasping her hands together.
When he testifies again, there's no way he can avoid all our powers. We'll find a contradiction.
They're a good team,
Apollo said, shaking his head.
I'm glad we normally don't have to face the two of them working together.
It's too bad Mr. Edgeworth doesn't take court cases anymore,
Gumshoe said.
When they're both on the case, they can always find the truth.
Detective, is there anything else about Mr. Edgeworth and Mr. Wright that you could tell us?
Gumshoe scratched his head.
Well, there was one time that Mr. Wright fell off a bridge. Mr. Edgeworth chartered a plane back from Europe to visit him, and even stepped in as a defense attorney when Mr. Wright was sick.
Prosecutor Edgeworth worked as a defense attorney? He flew in from Europe to see Mr. Wright? Why didn't you say that in your testimony?
Apollo demanded. Gumshoe looked down.
Well, I was going to, but the suicide thing, pal. I just didn't want to say anything after that came up. It hurt Mr. Wright's feelings a lot. I never saw Mr. Wright so angry at Mr. Edgeworth as he was after that.
But Mr. Wright saved Mr. Edgeworth's life, in a way, didn't he? According to Ms. Von Karma.
Yeah. And just between you and me, pal, Ms. Von Karma isn't the sentimental type. And even she thinks Mr. Edgeworth has feelings for Mr. Wright.
And I know that Daddy likes Mr. Edgeworth, even if he won't admit it.
Trucy said.
Daddy's bluffs don't work on me.
I wonder why they're fighting this so hard.
Athena mused.
Anyone can see how happy they make each other.
Franziska snorted.
Because I've never met such a foolish pair of perfectly foolish fools,
she said derisively.
Foolishly blind to what's right in front of them.
Has anyone ever given this woman a thesaurus?
The whip cracked as if Franziska could read Apollo's mind, and Apollo jumped.
It's been at least 10 minutes, hasn't it? I better go remind them,
Apollo said hastily, happy to get away from the whip. He left the conference room in the direction that Phoenix and Edgeworth had gone. He turned a corner and stopped short at the sight. They were kissing. Phoenix's hand curled gently against Edgeworth's jaw, pressing him closer, and Edgeworth's glasses were dangling from one hand. The furrows on Edgeworth's brow had smoothed out, and Phoenix was grinning wildly, making the two of them look 10 years younger. They hadn't noticed Apollo's approach. Apollo stood, frozen for a moment, before he realized he was watching his boss make out with the chief prosecutor. He beat a swift retreat to the conference room.
Your Honor, I believe the defense has conceded and will not be returning.
Mr. Justice, I don't believe it's appropriate for the prosecution to speak for the defense.
Apollo grinned and crossed his arms.
Well, they were kissing, and I think it's safe to say that they won't be returning anytime soon. I believe that counts as decisive evidence.
Oh, well, in that case, I believe I can deliver my verdict. On the count of being in love, I find the defendants, Phoenix Wright and Miles Edgeworth,
guilty!
The end. Thank you for listening.
Hooray!
Thank you, Fred.